been a good week. We sure appreciate the goodness of the Lord that's been bestowed on us. And I do want to say a word of gratitude to the kind folk here at Ball Road. Thank you, preacher, for the kind invitation. We've enjoyed being with you again this year, and we've certainly enjoyed the good fellowship that we've had all week. Thank you for the good meal on Sunday. It was a real joy to spend some time with Brother Daniel, Miss Stormy, and their family. And I mean that. We cross paths occasionally, but not often. And so it's been good to worship together and fellowship together. Spent a little time today trying to talk him to go to the city with me, but he won't do it. He said he belonged in the country. Amen. But we've enjoyed the week. Always enjoy spending time with Brother Morgan and Miss Sarah and their children. And I mean that. I appreciate their friendship and their kindness. And thank you for the good motel and the good offering. It's just been a blessing to be here. And I trust that you'll pray for us. My next preaching engagement's actually Sunday, and I have a sunrise service at 8 o'clock at one church and then 11 o'clock service across town at another church. I don't do that often, but I did do it this time, amen. And then I'll preach to the same church on Sunday night. Those are in Somerville, Georgia, being Gadsden, Alabama next week. And then, I'm up here in the mountains of North Carolina, or Tennessee. I've got a meeting Sunday week in the mountains of North Carolina, and I tell folks the name of the church, and they kind of look at me, but I don't think y'all look at me. I'm preaching both services at Bear Paw Baptist Church, but it's right around the corner from Hanging Dog Baptist Church, and there is a Hanging Dog. You can look them up there. I guess that church must be 200 years old, and somehow or another, I guess because of their because of the time frame, the historical perspective, I assume they're still there. You could actually go online and Google that and find their church minutes, the record of their business meetings way back turn of the century, and see, it was kind of interesting. They'd voting people out for going to the dance hall. Amen. I'm telling you. Yeah, I mean, it was right there. Amen. And anyway, so I'll be at Bear Paw Baptist Church, and then we're going to be over actually up toward Spring City. The churches up there have gotten together, and they're doing a unique missions round robin. And I'll just announce it for them, but it'll start it'll be a week from Sunday. On Monday night, the service will be at Faith Baptist Church, where Brother Tim Giddens pastors and Brother Stennett Blue's preaching. On Tuesday night, the service will be at Heritage Baptist Church, which is the church Brother Mark Ward pastors, and I'm preaching. And then on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I believe, the services will be over at Brother Steve Hensley's church in Spring City. And I can't think what the name of his church is right off the top of my head. But I'm one of the men I didn't recognize, and I believe Thursday and Friday, Brother Joe Bryant's preaching. And it'd be worth a four-hour drive to go hear Joe Bryant preach. He'll give you more in his chit-chat before he reads his text than some men will give you in 3 hours of preaching. Amen? And I love Brother Joe, and I love preacher. And anyway, it'll be a meeting based on missions. I'm not sure how many missionaries will be in. And we're excited about being there. We're going to actually attend the service on Monday and then be in the meeting on Tuesday night to preach. We'll go from there to our home church, and I'm preaching our home church revival, missions revival. That'll begin on Wednesday night through the 30th of April. From there, we're heading to the Midwest, and so we'd sure covet your prayers. We'll be 3 weeks in Minnesota and South Dakota, and we have four churches that we'll be preaching in while we're there. We'll go from there to Gulfport, Mississippi, then Marion, North Carolina, and we'll make that little circle, just a little circle, 2,800 miles. It's just a little circle. We'll make that little circle. That ain't counting out yonder. That's just Mississippi, North Carolina. And then we're going to head to England. And so we have a team that will leave on the 3rd of June. We'll be gone until the 18th of June. 16 of those days will be in England working with Brother Roger Tooley. And so please remember our team in your prayers. While we're there, I'm preaching a tent revival. We'll be doing some street evangelism. And so we're excited about what the Lord has for us. And so I'd encourage you to pray for us as we head in that direction. James Langston said, don't tell the congregation if you're struggling between texts. Because if you do, he said, it doesn't matter how good a job you do, there's always somebody going to say you chose the wrong one. Amen. There's probably some truth in that. Amen. But as I thought about the meeting tonight and contemplated what the Lord might have us to preach, I felt like I got good clarity on the message, and I'll preach that in just a few minutes out of 1 Chronicles. But I am mindful of this day. And today, this is leading up to Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Now, I'm not dogmatic on what I'm about to say other than this. The Lord was not crucified on Friday.
Yes, sir.
That's a Catholic tradition. There's absolutely no way that you can possibly get 3 days and three nights out of that, out of a Friday, out of a Good Friday. Just can't happen. And there's always been a mixture of opinion between those who believe the Lord was crucified on Wednesday and on Thursday, and I've seen good arguments in both directions. Either way, last I checked, we're on Wednesday, and it's almost 8 o'clock, and in just a few minutes, we're going to be on Thursday. And I got to thinking it would probably be inappropriate for us to gather this close to crucifixion and not take just a minute and read, and maybe even with a sense of sobriety, to read the story of the crucifixion. And I want to do that tonight just for a few minutes. And I promise I'll snip my other thoughts a little bit here and there, cut off a word or two. But I felt like that it ought to put us in the mindset this week. It ought to put us in the mindset. It's not about the new outfits that we get to wear on Sunday. And there's no sin in that. And it's not about having some sort of Easter egg hunt or get together. There's no sin in all of that. But I'm just going to tell you something. I'm just going to tell you, the focus of this week, this holy week, and I say very little positive things about Catholicism, but in Catholic-oriented countries, that's what this week is referred to. It's Holy Week. And there is a reminder, there is a sober reminder that these are the days that are set aside to memorialize and remember what Christ did for us on dark Calvary. Amen? At dark Calvary. And oh, how our hearts ought to be strummed this week as we watch those hours roll by and we begin to think about the suffering of the Son of God. And we begin to think about the love that Christ had for you and I that would compel him to go to Calvary. The poet said that the nails didn't hold him there, but love held him on the cross.
Amen.
My Bible said that he could have called 12 legions of angels. And God could have started over again.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He could have looked out over that crowd and said, man, I'm fed up with this crowd. I'm done with them. Destroy them. Amen. And I'll start all over again. And that's within God's providential hand. He could do that in his sovereignty. But he loved us.
Amen.
Amen. And he loved us with an inexplainable love that would cause the Son of God, the creator of all things. The Bible said that in him the fullness of the Godhead was revealed to you and I. In him we saw he who created us, for all things were made by him. And not anything was made that was made except he made it. And the Bible said not only did he create all things, but by him all things consist.
Amen.
That means that the world didn't stop spinning today and water still run downhill. And the birds didn't forget their song and the sun didn't refuse to shine. Amen. But 2,000 years ago, in this week, he died in our place.
Amen.
He died for us. He suffered for us. And you know the story, how that he was falsely accused. The witnesses' testimonies wouldn't agree against him. The Jews held an illegal trial by their own standards. And he stood before Herod. He stood before Pilate. Pilate, washing his hands, said, I find no fault in this man, but giving in to the political pressure of the day, he gave him over to be crucified. And they took him down, and they plait the garment, and they put the crown on his head, and they beat him, and they mercilessly taunt him. They place a crude cross upon his shoulders, and he makes his way down the road up toward Golgotha's hill. And as he reaches Golgotha, he collapses under the weight of the cross because of his physical weakness. It's already been brought on by his suffering. They compel one Simon of Cyrene to help bear that cross. But be you mindful tonight that though a stranger bore up his shoulder under the heaviness of those cross pieces of wood, and the cross of your sins, the cross that he bore on your behalf, laid squarely on the shoulders of the Son of God. And when he got to the top of Golgotha's hill, they put him on that cross and nailed his hands and his feet, and lifted him up and set him before all men to see. And I wanted to read just a verse or two about that tonight, if I could, just for a minute. And there's a lot of text, and you know there's a lot of text, but Luke 23 has always been my favorite text when it comes to the subject of the crucifixion. And here's why. The word Calvary only appears in your King James Bible one time. Just one time. If you by chance have been misguided into having an NIV, you don't have one at all. The word's been completely eliminated from the text of most modern perversions. Somebody said one time. Oh, absolutely, just one time. I figured that's the only time it needed to be mentioned. Amen. He's never needed but one Calvary. Amen? Amen. And so I like Luke 23. And if you'll bear with me in my folly a few moments, I want to read this. And then we'll see which direction the Lord leads. I believe we'll go back to 1 Chronicles for a preaching text tonight. And the scripture says,